Divorce is always a tragic thing, but even more so when it happens to your child. Hi, I'm Rob West. Parents who see a daughter go through a divorce have some tough questions to answer. How much and how do we help? Financial teacher Ron Blue joins us today with his views on the topic. Then it's on to your calls and questions at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, Ron Blue doesn't really need an introduction, but I'll give him one anyway. He's a co-founder of Kingdom Advisors, author of a shelf full of books on biblical finance, a mentor of mine, and a dear friend in Christ. Ron, great to have you back with us.
As always, Rob, terrific to join you. Appreciate the invitation.
We love it, Ron. And, you know, this is an important topic, helping a daughter who's going through a divorce. It's probably something we should talk about more often, do you think?
Yeah, I do. Unfortunately, you know, 50% of marriages end up in divorce, and it's something that is becoming more and more common in our society. So divorce is very real, and it'll be good to talk about it a bit.
Yeah, it will. And I know you would agree that being a single parent is one of the hardest jobs there is. And financially, it's really challenging. This is something, though, this topic, Ron, that's very personal for you and Judy, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Our third child, a daughter, went through a divorce after just a few years of marriage. And she had one son that was born kind of during the divorce process. And so we had some tough questions to answer. And you don't plan for these things, really, in the sense of now what are we going to do? Because you don't know all of the circumstances.
Yes.
So we did go through that, and we could spend a lot of time talking about what we learned. But I can tell you that what we learned is it's hard because you're dealing emotionally, physically, spiritually, financially, or all of those issues enter into it.
Yeah. Well, let's dig into that, Ron. How did you and Judy make that decision on how much and how to help?
I'd say, Rob, that we made it on an ongoing basis. And I think that's an important thing to remember is because you can't kind of say, this is it, and live with that because you don't know how things are going to work out. You know, the relationship between the divorced couple, how is that going to work out? And what about your daughter in this particular case? How's she going to finance herself when she's a single mom? That's a hard, hard thing. And I think one of the biggest things is that people feel like they failed. And there's the emotion of failure, and how do you support a child who feels like they failed? And then again, when now they've got siblings, so we had to decide, you know, how do we help her financially vis-a-vis her siblings? And we came to the conclusion on something that I had written, that if you love your children equally, you'll treat them uniquely. And she was in a unique situation. So it kind of, it didn't matter with the other children. We didn't have to treat them the same way we were going to treat our daughter.
Yeah.
And we didn't.
Yeah. And Ron, I know one of your goals throughout this process was to be able to help, but then release her once again to self-sufficiency. What did that look like?
Well, it took time. I think we were involved in helping her for probably 6 years before she got remarried. And she then had to kind of figure out a career that she could be self-supporting. And so we did a lot of babysitting. We spent a lot of time with her. We spent a lot of time. In fact, probably, you know, we've got 13 grandchildren, and we may be the closest to her one son, who's now 23 years old. But we're really close to him because we were a large, large part of his life.
Yeah. And Ron, I suspect prayer was a big part of this as well, right?
Oh, prayer and friends.
Yeah, that's great.
Big parts.
Well, Ron, we just scratched the surface on this, but there's a huge need here and a wonderful opportunity, and I know you've been an encouragement to our listeners today. Thanks for stopping by.
Well, thanks for asking me, Rob. I enjoyed it.
That's Ron Blue, author of Master Your Money and frequent contributor here at Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. All right, your calls are next. The number, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. I'm Rob West, and this is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We'll be right back.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Are you driving right now? There's a decent chance you've got kids in the back seat, and if your vehicle is anything like mine, your kids are keeping you on your toes. There's only so much you can do from the front seat as a parent, unless you pull over. But even in those tough moments of parenting, our behavior is consequential. It matters to the Lord. Ephesians 6:4 puts it like this: Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. And we're going to fall short of that standard sometimes, but with the Lord's help, we can point them to Jesus. After all, He's a friend to sinners, people like you and me. Get daily encouragement with Anchor Devotional. Visit getanchor.com.
My grocery bill went up 11% this year. Gas, utilities, rent, all went up. But my paycheck, the same. I also pay for my own healthcare, a huge expense. A friend recommended Christian Healthcare Ministries as an option to insurance, and CHM helps pay for medical needs while allowing some breathing room in my budget. Open enrollment is here, so make the switch today with potential cost savings up to 40%. Christian Healthcare Ministries at chministries.org/faithbuy.
I want to talk about Israel. So, Robert, is this the end of the world we're seeing?
What I can answer, you know, Matthew 24:36 says, no man knows the hour or the day. But I think things are absolutely being set up for what will be the end of times. And what people don't realize is this is ultimately a spiritual conflict.
Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from One Ascent Investments on the Faith and Finance program. They manage a comprehensive suite of value-based investment strategies designed to help Christian investors live aligned with what they value most. One Ascent believes that if your values inspire the way you live, they should also inspire the way you invest. This can be a unique form of worship. More information is available at investments.oneascent.com. That web address is investments.oneascent.com.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
So glad to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. We're ready to take your calls and questions today. The number to call is 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. We'd love to tackle whatever you're considering in your financial life today and see if we can help you think about it in light of biblical wisdom. Let's do some news here first, and then we'll jump into our phone calls. This is coming today in the news, and it isn't good news. The Federal Reserve Bank of New York is reporting that Americans collectively now owe, you ready for this, $1.13 trillion in credit card debt. In the fourth quarter of 2023 alone, credit card debt shot up $50 billion, or about 5%. Credit card delinquency payments also increased dramatically, especially with adults age 30 to 39. Now, the Fed noted that the economy seems strong overall, but some pockets are, of course, overextended. The report laid the blame on higher food, gas, and housing prices, along with federal student loan repayment starting up again in October. Obviously, a lot of folks really feeling the pinch in their wallets as a result of what's going on with high inflation. So
something to keep an eye on. We talk often about the best way to get out of credit card debt being, well, if you have less than $4,000, snowball it, meaning smallest to largest balance, and apply all margin to that smallest balance until it's gone, and then move down the line. Apart from that, more than $4,000 in credit card debt, I recommend debt management. Our friends at ChristianCreditCounselors.org could be a help to you, but certainly something to keep an eye on, especially if we head into a recession later this year. All right, let's turn to your phone calls today. The number to call is 800-525-7000. We'd love to tackle your financial questions today. Again, 800-525-7000. All right, let's dive in. We're going to begin in Texas today with Paula. Go right ahead.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
My first question is, we recently sold our business, and I just turned 63, and wanted to find out your thoughts of taking Social Security now.
Yeah. So I always like to wait if possible, but tell me a little bit about your situation. So you sold the business, and what did you do with the proceeds?
Well, we are financing it, and so we receive that money each month. And
okay.
So we're using some of that to live off of. We're putting some away to savings. It's not that we need it right now, but thinking to go ahead and put it into some of those higher interest CDs or something like that.
Yeah, very good. And are you both still working, or what is your work status?
My husband's 67, and he's not working per se. And right now I would like to try to find something online to do. But I'm really not sure exactly how to start looking for that and what I can trust as far as finding
yeah.
something online.
Yeah. Yeah. Very good. We'll come back to that. In terms of your income, other than this income from you financing the purchase of your business, you said you have quite a bit of surplus there on a monthly basis. Do you have other income sources?
Oh, my husband's taking his Social Security.
Okay.
And, you know, just what we have put aside over the years.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, got
all right. And money. Is so, for instance, what do you have coming in from the business financing per month?
Per month. Probably around $3,000.
All right. And then what is he getting on Social Security?
I believe it's around $2,500.
Okay. And what are your bills roughly on a monthly basis?
Just electric, and that's, you know, around $200. We have one truck payment, about $800, and we own our home.
Okay.
So we really don't have, and water.
Okay.
So that's maybe about $150.
Yeah, and then food, and if you guys travel or put gas in the car, I mean, it adds up. So you're able,
right.
You would think you're able to live on his Social Security alone or close to it?
Well, right now, we're still trying to work with that budget on the Faith Buy.
Okay.
And try to get some things trimmed off, you know, that we don't really need. And get a better idea of what we have going out.
Yeah, yeah, that's good. Well, I think given what you're describing here, last question, how long does the payout go for the financing of the business?
I think it's 13 years.
13 years, okay. And you just did it, right?
Right,
okay.
In July.
Yeah. Yeah, good. All right. Well, the good news is you've got plenty of income in, You're living modestly, and so you have quite a bit of surplus that you're able to continue to build up, you know, emergency savings on top of long-term savings. I think all things being equal, Paula, I'd encourage you to wait on taking Social Security, and here's why. Every year you wait, that's going to grow by about 8%. up to full retirement age, which is what you would, where you would get the amount that's on your benefit statement that they're estimating based on your work record. And then if you wait beyond that, up to as far as age 70, for every year you wait beyond full retirement age, you're going to get another 8% where you'd actually grow that check. And you're not going to get that in the market. You're not going to get that in CDs. You know, guaranteed 8% returns don't come anywhere. So I think you all, just given the fact that you don't need the money, you have the ability to let this check continue to grow. Now, of course, there's the trade-off of, am I going to live long enough to recoup what I gave up and then have that higher check for life? And, you know, just based on life expectancy, it would say the answer to that is yes. I mean, at your, you know, your probably life expectancy once you reach age 65 is 84. And if you waited all the way until age 70, it would take you about 11 years for you to get paid back everything that you gave up during the years where you didn't take Social Security. And then from that point forward, you'd have a check that's about 25% higher than you would have at full retirement age for the rest of your life. If you take it at 62, you're going to take about a 30% reduction from what your full benefit is at full retirement age. So, you know, it'd be one thing if you said, listen, we're just in a really tight spot. We don't have enough to balance the budget. But given the payout that you have on the sale of the business, plus your husband's Social Security, plus your modest lifestyle, I just don't see a real reason to take that benefit early and forego those increases that you could have. Does that make sense?
Yes. And to piggyback on that, so the income that they would they show on my Social Security that I would receive if I wait until full retirement, since I'm not working and I'm not having an income, is that going to reduce that?
It's not. So it's based on your high 35 years of work record. And so okay. You're not replacing any of those that are already a part of that calculation, where you have lower years that you're knocking off with a higher year, but you're not going down because it's based today on those high 35. It's going to be based, you know, when you get to full retirement age on your high 35. But what you're doing is not taking that reduction by taking it early. And I think that's the key. Okay. Hope that helps, Paul. Listen, all the best to you. Thanks for calling today. A quick break and back with more on Faith and Finance. Stay with us.
The world around us is constantly challenging the way we think. That's why we need a constant source of information that's based on the unchanging Word of God. I'm Jeff Shambley, and I invite you to join me for The Stand Radio, a weekly program that highlights the latest trends in culture, faith, and family. You'll hear insightful interviews with a biblical worldview application. The Stand Radio, Saturdays at 4 p.m. and Sundays at 8 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
Thoughts of the child you were carrying keep pouring over in your mind. A deep, unrelenting sadness overshadows your days, and you wonder if you will ever feel whole again. There is hope and healing from a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline, 866-482-LIFE, and talk with someone who has been where you are. Your call is confidential, and we will help you find healing. 866-482-LIFE.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at EventideInvestments.com. That's EventideInvestments.com.
Here's Rob West of Faith and Finance, heard here daily on American Family Radio. We understand how important it is for Christians to leave a legacy that will impact generations to come. One way you can do that is through a charitable gift annuity from the AFA Foundation. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345. Or visit them online at afafoundation.net.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
Thankful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. We've got lines open today. What are your financial questions? Give us a call, 800-525-7000. That's right. Our team is standing by. You can get through right now at 800-525-7000. Let's go back to the phones. To New York we go. Hi, Maria. Thank you for calling. Go ahead.
It's Maria, your favorite listener.
Maria, I should have known. I'd missed the New York right there on my screen, but I'm so glad you called. What do you have for us today?
Well, I would like to add to your guest advice on how to help the divorcing kids.
Okay.
Since I have seen a lot of broken hearts and abuse from divorcing, from just about anyone that I work with or is in my... So for my great nieces, because I don't have all my own kids. I just yes. have the kids of my cousins, the kids of my siblings, and I love them all. I'm their godmother, most of them.
Yes.
So what I do is that when they are young, I start a emergency fund for each one.
Okay.
That is separate from my own emergency fund, because the reason for that is that most of the women, when the husband leaves them, they have no resources. So one time, a cousin of mine was very close to have to run away. So what I did was, at that time, the I bonds,
yes,
were high. So I got an I bond. I am the first person and she's the beneficiary. But I still have the bond because they were able to fix their marriage.
That's
so
great.
In my mind, it's part of my mission but nobody knows this. I don't tell anybody. I just keep it, and it's all, like, for example, if it's a bond, it is, when I die, they will get the bond because they're the beneficiary,
yes,
whether or not divorcing or not. And also the other thing I always tell anybody who cares to listen, who are in their mid-20s to mid-30s, especially, the most important thing is to figure out that you're at the same level as the other person in all aspects of life. If not, you have to have a prenup. You have to have... 1 year kind of like before you combine your finances, a 1 year where you check this out, and then don't rush in getting a baby unless you really love each other. And some people say that it's not a good way to start a marriage, but you know what? When they're heartbroken and they have no money, it's just the worst thing that can happen. They can't even grieve.
Yeah.
So that's, I don't know if you agree with that, but.
I always appreciate you weighing in, and I love to hear from you. You are absolutely one of my favorite listeners. Thank you for calling, Maria. I will say, though, that we disagree slightly on this one, in that, I think we need to go in to marriage with a biblical worldview, which is, we're leaving our father and mother and becoming one flesh. And that idea of unity and one flesh in a biblical marriage between a man and a woman is God's design. And it involves oneness in every area of our lives. And that's from the day of our vows. And I think we need to prepare for that well in advance. And I think you bring up a great point to that end is, you know, understanding is really a key part of what we do during that premarital process to get on the same page and think through both spiritually God's view of marriage and what that should look like, but also financially as it relates to what we talk about here on this program is understanding where each is coming from financially. What was money like growing up? How was it handled? What was modeled for you? You know, how has God wired you? You know, what are your temperaments? Are you a spender or a saver? You know, are you a risk taker or are you more conservative? You know, knowing that going into it and appreciating each other's differences and then being able to find God's plan for you now as one flesh, recognizing you're different people. You know, Larry Burkett used to say, if you were the same, you and your spouse, one would be unnecessary. And, you know, I think the idea there is we work together with a lot of communication and a lot of understanding and a lot of grace with God in the center of that, but it's marriage for life. And I don't think we can go into it saying, well, we're going to give it some time. And I think the whole separated finances and the prenup idea is just kind of going into it, almost preparing for failure. And I understand you're coming at this with a lot of, you know, actual experience of heartbreak, and I get that. But I also say that we need to go back to and always start with a biblical worldview of what is the definition of marriage, how has God designed it for us, and what that should that look like as we lean into it. So I appreciate your thoughts, Maria, always. Please call anytime. I think we just maybe have a slight difference of opinion maybe on that approach to marriage, but I appreciate your being on the program today. Folks, here's what I'd like to do. When we come back from this break, I want to talk about the benefits of financial unity in marriage. You know, unity is obviously a priority in marriage, but that includes financial unity. But what does that look like in a Christian marriage? And what are the benefits of that? What are we going to take away from that if we will pursue with everything that we have this idea of unity? You know, because many married couples argue about money because our deepest hopes, expectations, and desires are so often financial in nature. And if material concerns seem to be driving a wedge between you and your spouse, it might be time to take a step back and discover how the idea of financial unity can actually revolutionize your relationship. And so just around the corner, I'll share a bit about why financial unity should be a priority and what I think it will do if you will really pursue it in your marriage right now. We're going to take a break and then back with your phone calls as well. We've got lines open. Call right now with your financial questions or even a testimony today. 800-525-7000. Call right now and we'll be right back.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly three decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners, LTD, and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services, LLC.
Weekday mornings at 8 Central, Pastor Jeff Shreve offers real truth for today.
I'm the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries.
The world around us is rapidly changing, but God and His truth will never change.
I may be the host of the show, but I want God's Word and His truth to be the star of the show.
Join Pastor Jeff Shreve each weekday morning at 8 Central for Real Truth for Today on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. soundmindinvesting.org.
45,000.
That's how many times FaithFi referred a listener to a certified Kingdom advisor last year. And for good reason. These are trusted financial, legal, and accounting professionals who have completed a rigorous certification program to ensure biblically wise financial advice as part of their practice. You can find a local CKA professional in your area by going to faithfi.com and clicking on the Find a CKA button on the homepage.
AFR programming is now available on Alexa.
You're joking, right?
Nope, not joking.
Seriously?
Yep, this is not a drill.
Wait a minute. No way.
There's a way. The Alexa way. So if you just happen to miss your favorite shows, no worries. You can now listen to each podcast with Alexa. It's simple and it's free. Just visit afr.net/apps and click Alexa. We're not joking.
Because of my past health history, finding affordable health care was nearly impossible. But then I found CHM, where costs are not adjusted based on medical history. Christian Healthcare Ministries even provides the freedom to choose my own providers. And the best part? CHM members pray for me. Too good to be true? It's not. I'm a proud member of Christian Healthcare Ministries, and if you think it could be right for you, learn more at chministries.org/faithfi.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
How have you found unity in your marriage related to finances? We'd love to hear it today. Do you have a story of how you've been able to overcome or surpass the statistics we often hear about conflict in marriage over money? We'd love to hear your story today at 800-525-7000 or any financial question that you might be wrestling with today. We'd love to tackle that with you at 800-525-7000. We've got some lines open today. We'll be going back to the phones here in just a moment. So whether it's paying down some credit card debt or your giving plan, maybe it's navigating your investment account or money in marriage, give us a call, 800-525-7000. We'd love to hear from you. All right, here's why financial unity should be a priority in a Christian marriage. Unity, first, is God's will for the church, and marriage is supposed to be a reflection of Christ's relationship with his people. In Ephesians 4, 2, and 3, here's what Paul writes. Be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Second, well, life is more satisfying when you're working together. Psalm 133 says, how good and pleasant is it when God's people live together in unity, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life evermore. Thirdly, unity is a priority because you made a promise. You may disagree with your spouse about the family finances, but remember why you're together in the first place. To love and to cherish until death do you part, as the traditional vow says. Your promise to each other before God means you work together for unity, even when you disagree about any issue, and that certainly includes money. Financial unity builds virtues that keep a marriage strong, including love and trust, patience, forgiveness, even generosity, and self-sacrifice. When you live these virtues together, your relationship rises above these petty disagreements. And then finally, your witness is profound when you have financial unity. Believe it or not, the way you handle your finances as a couple can demonstrate the hope of Christ to people who don't know him. You see, your loving attitude towards each other and your generosity and integrity as a couple can have an enormous impact on the people around you. Unity between husband and wife is a source of blessing, especially when it comes to the family finances. This kind of unity, it of course takes determination and persistence, lots of communication to achieve it, but it's worth it. Most important, it takes a desire on both sides for Jesus to be at the center of your married life. Without him, true unity is absolutely impossible. So if you find yourself arguing with your spouse about money, let me encourage you to think about what we've said here and spend time together in prayer, asking the Lord to bring you together in the unity of His Spirit through the bond of peace. And you will experience the fruit and the blessing of what we just described. All right, let's take your phone calls today. We're going to jump into some calls here. We do have three lines open at 800-525-7000, so you can call right now. Let's go to Georgia. Kelly, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, my name is Kelly, and I want to know how you would handle a situation where a spouse tries to take out loans the other spouse's name without their knowledge.
Yeah, I mean, it's clearly a violation of trust, Kelly. You know, when it comes to finances, we recognize that financial decision-making, the financial outworking is just symptomatic of really heart-level issues. You know, Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Proverbs tells us that what we do flows from our heart. And so ultimately, I think, you know, finances are just one of the most tangible expressions of what we value, where we've placed our trust. But in marriage, clearly, there's got to be open communication. I say, just as a rule, borrowing should never happen without a few things in place. Number one is you've got to make sure that the economic cost is less than the economic return. You want to make sure that you're not presuming on the Lord. You want to make sure you have a guaranteed way to repay. But you also, and this is an absolute, I think, need to have 100% spousal agreement. So what you're describing here is a violation of all of that, where, you know, it's being done without knowledge, without communication, obviously without agreement. And so then the question is kind of, where do you go from there? But first of all, give me your thoughts on that.
Well, you know, it's funny, I wouldn't have called except for I had just left the mailbox, and there in the mailbox was another letter in my name about a loan that I didn't apply for. And I thankfully locked down all my credit reports so that this can stop happening.
Yeah.
But it's insanely hard to continue in a relationship with someone who, A, first of all, admit that there's a problem with spending, and yeah, B, thinks it's okay to neglect their obligation.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yes.
All and the things, you know, all the things that want to come out, that there's I have no good answers, and I realize it's a violation of trust. I realize all those things. I also realize it's illegal. And I don't, as a spouse, I don't know how to deal with that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, have you all ever had marriage counseling? Have you ever approached this with your local church or with a Christian counselor?
Had marriage counseling, and the therapist actually told us, because of his propensity to wipe out bank accounts and take out loans that aren't okay, that we shouldn't commingle our funds.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I can certainly understand that. And, you know, I think obviously this is a bigger problem than just the finances, but that's a real part of this. And so, you know, the first step is his willingness just to deal with reality on, you know, being willing to be transparent about where you all are at, so you have full view of what is that starting point. And then, is there an openness, you know, and a willingness to repent, to accept decisions that have been made and make a change? And obviously, you know, the extent to which this is going to continue, especially if it's done behind your back and, you know, you're unaware of it, and when he's, you know, essentially obligating you or forging your name, then you're right. You know, that's illegal. So I think the next step for you is, and I suspect you've done a lot of this, but number one is just a lot of prayer. And we'll certainly be ask our faith and finance community to be praying for you, Kelly, as you deal with this. Number two is, you know, following the biblical model, just approaching him and saying, listen, I know we've talked about this, we've been to counseling, there's a problem here, and we need to be honest about it. I need to know where we stand. And that, the easiest way as a starting point would be for you each to pull a copy of your credit reports and be willing to put that on the table. And then next is, okay, so what are we going to do about it? Can we even afford to pay all of this? Where are we at today? What is reality? And then how can we get some help, both for our marriage and for, you know, our financial lives, so that we've got some accountability here between each other and to someone else who can ask the hard questions and push back. You know, that could be a financial counselor, and I could get you connected with one if you believe, you know, your husband would be willing to engage in that, or a financial advisor, and it may involve somebody, you know, a pastor from your church as well. Would it be helpful at this point, Kelly, do you think, for us to have a Christian financial counselor connect with you?
Yes, I think so.
Okay. All right, let's do that. We'll use that as a starting point. That person will pray with you, encourage you, but also, if your husband's willing, engage you all in a process to actually get everything out in the open and then formulate a plan. Stay on the line. We'll get your information. We'll be right back.
This is Frank Gaffney, host of Securing America, a program dedicated to protecting the country we love against all enemies, foreign and domestic, to the glory of God and His kingdom. Each weeknight at 11 p.m. Eastern Time, we provide insights and recommendations about the most important challenges facing our nation from her most thoughtful experts and patriots. Join me to learn how you can help in securing America right here at 11 p.m. Eastern Time.
Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, a growing national network of pastors committed to the authority of Scripture and preaching the whole counsel of God. We believe biblical obedience is the foundation for revival, and impacting our culture for Christ is our duty. For too long, the pulpits of America have been silent on the important issues such as marriage and family and assault on our liberty. Join us in the battle for truth on Stand in the Gap weekend, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. on American Family Radio, and visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.org.
God's Word is packed with life-changing wisdom about your finances, and FaithFi is here to help you and many others to be wise stewards of God's resources. As a nonprofit organization, we rely on help from FaithFi patrons, supporters of this mission, to help us continue and expand our outreach. Please consider becoming a monthly FaithFi patron. Visit FaithFi.com and click Give on the homepage.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at EventideInvestments.com. That's EventideInvestments.com.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We've got lines open today here in our final segment with your financial questions, 800-525-7000. You know, we were talking in the last segment about a really difficult situation, what I'll call financial infidelity. You know, a simple, broad definition is keeping hidden from your spouse anything that involves money. Could be opening a secret bank account, tucking money away somewhere in the house, or even opening a credit card or taking out debt, either without your spouse knowing it, or in the case of our previous caller, in your spouse's name without their awareness or even acknowledgement of it. You know, this is deceitful. It's a breach of trust, but it's also a breach of financial goals that couples share. If you're hiding money or debt from your spouse, obviously you have your own agenda. And I think this is why we need to have complete transparency. It's why we need to merge our finances. And unfortunately, it's more common than you might think. In a survey by the National Endowment for Financial Education, 40% of Americans admitted to committing some form of financial infidelity against their partner. And that included everything from making secret purchases to concealing the amount of income earned. Three out of four respondents who found out their spouses were doing this said it affected their relationship because, understandably, they felt betrayed. And so this is something, you know, if that's you, this is the time to, first of all, pray, approach your spouse, be honest, ask for forgiveness, be willing to be transparent, put everything on the table, and then absolutely commit to making a change and to bring in accountability, whether that's a Christian counselor, marriage counseling, or your pastor, or both, a financial accountability partner, maybe a certified Christian financial counselor here at FaithFi, a certified kingdom advisor, someone who can journey with you and be willing to ask both of you the hard questions and challenge and push back. And, you know, the starting point is to stop running from it and get everything on the table and own up to it. But this is spiritual in nature, and then it works itself out in a tangible way in the money decision making and outcome. So a huge challenge. And let me just pray and ask you to take some stock inventory in your own life and marriage and see if this happens to be an issue you need to address. All right, let's go back to the phones. We've got some lines open. Room for maybe one or two more questions today. 800-525-7000. Call right now. Let's go to Virginia. Hi, Katie. Go ahead.
Oh, hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just had a question about my husband's hoping to retire at the end of this year. He'll be 65 and just considered an early retirement. He has a 401 in his with his work, and obviously once he retires, we're just kind of trying to figure out what to do with that 401. And then also another question real quick was about our savings account. I basically just have it in a regular savings along with my checking, and it's obviously just growing pennies on it, and I kind of wanted to figure out what to do with that because I've saved up to about $65,000 in that savings, and it's just kind of sitting there. And
yeah.
So I wanted to ask just about those two things, if I could.
That's great. Absolutely, Katie. Those are great questions. First of all, congratulations as you guys move into this next season of life here and lean into that and see what God has for you. What I would say with regard to the 401k is, you know, typically the way we approach this is we save through that salary deferral and that company sponsored plan. We are diligent and systematic. It's called dollar cost averaging. We build up a big nest egg. And then when we get to retirement, we move out of the 401k structure into an IRA, an individual retirement account. And that just opens up the investment options. And then typically, unless you have or your husband has particular expertise or skills in managing the money, I would say you hire an advisor who would then, you know, spend a lot of time with you and your husband doing discovery around your life and your goals and where God is leading you and your lifestyle and your budget and really formulating a plan that will ultimately result in an investment strategy that's going to be undoubtedly more conservative than the investments that he has in the 401k today. But the goal will be first to preserve all that he's built up, and then second, to grow it so that you all can outpace inflation and allow that to convert to an income stream if needed to be able to supplement Social Security and whatever else you might have. And so if you don't have an advisor, I'd encourage you to go to faithfi.com, click find a CKA, and you can interview two or three certified kingdom advisors before retirement so that when that time comes, that advisor would open the IRA and then help you get the money transferred over. Yeah. So that would be where I'd go there. In terms of the savings, a way to go on putting away $65,000. Sounds like you've been squirreling some money away every chance you get, and that's a good thing. You know, do you have any kind of specific plans for that, or is that really just surplus?
Surplus, really.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So if you want to keep it.
We don't have it yet.
Okay. And what would you say your monthly bills are in total, roughly?
Probably, I'd say 2,000.
Okay.
Maybe.
All right. So let's bump it up, and because of inflation, and maybe you're forgetting some things, and let's say it's 2,500. You know, if we were to look at 6 months of that, that's 15,000 at a minimum. I'd want you to keep 15,000 in a high yield savings account. Now, there's no reason for you to keep it in the savings account, paying next to nothing, you know, at that local bank where you have your checking. I'd get open an online savings account, link it electronically to that checking account that you have. You don't have to change that. but get a lot more in the way of interest. So if you go to bankrate.com right now, that's bankrate.com, click on high yield savings, you'll see the banks that are paying the highest interest rates right now. And what you'll see is that you can earn every bit of 4% or more, you know, on that money. And if we take that whole $65,000, I mean, that's $2,600 over a year. I mean, that's not an insignificant return. Now, that's not going to be available forever. We expect rates to start coming down this year. But, you know, if you're getting 4, 4.5, even 5% in high yield savings with FDIC insurance in a 5-star rated bank, you know, I'd be thrilled with that. Now, the question is, do we take a portion of that? So, you know, beyond the $15,000, you've got another $50,000 there that you really don't have a purpose for. If you didn't want to take any risk with it, then you could, you know, perhaps put that into a CD. And instead of, you know, getting 5%, now all of a sudden you're getting, you know, 5.5, 5.75, something like that. So that would be an option where you could lock it up for a year and get a better return. If you wanted to, you could start, you know, buying some stocks and bonds, maybe a couple of high quality mutual funds to try to grow the money. But at that point, you're taking risk and you could lose, you know, value. You'd really need to take a long-term perspective with it. But give me your thoughts on that, you know, that $50,000. Are you wanting to keep that in a guaranteed environment or would you like to invest it?
Yeah, I'm not. I don't like risk, so guaranteed would be my feel on that.
Yeah, very good.
Okay, so bankrate.com. Okay, is where I can look for that. Okay, all right.
That's right. And, and either with a CD or the high yield savings or both, you know, I think it could give you a great plan to at least take advantage of these high interest rates right now. They're not going to be around probably a year from now at this level. But, you know, there's no reason to miss out on it in the meantime, okay?
Sure. All right. Well, thank you so much for that advice. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome, Katie. Thanks for being on the program today. We appreciate it very much. Folks, here as we round out the broadcast today, let me mention one other piece of financial unity in marriage, and it has to do with a blended family. So, you know, when you're coming into a marriage, having been married already, and so this is a second marriage, you're remarrying. I do think there are some additional considerations for you to look at in that situation. And there is an organization that I always recommend, and it's called Family Life Blended. You may be familiar with Family Life, as in Family Life Today, a part of Campus Crusade for Christ. But they have a division called Family Life Blended specifically for those folks, couples that are coming into a blended family. And I would take a look at that. And here's one of the ideas that they put forward, which is something called the togetherness agreement. Because, you know, couples who form blended families are blending so many things, both financially and from a family standpoint. So they've got to communicate about the moving parts and dynamics in a financial sense. It's the attitudes about money and saving and investing, but it's also how do they love well and care for and trust in that relationship. Often there's pain from the past that creates fear. So it's important to talk through those past experiences, including scars from the past, to understand one another. And then the togetherness agreement specifically for that couple coming into this second marriage is really about writing the rules from the marriage, especially as it relates to the kids that were that you had prior to the marriage. How are we going to deal with that wealth that was created prior to this second marriage and for the kids that we had in a previous marriage? Working through all of that, I think, can really be helpful, and Family Life has some great ideas. You can check it out at familylife.com/blended. That's familylife.com/blended. Well, folks, we covered a lot of ground today. I'm so thankful that you were along with us today as we talked about your financial life in light of biblical wisdom. Here's our goal. We want to keep God as our ultimate treasure and money a tool, one of God's good gifts to use in service to Him, to enjoy, to meet the needs of ourselves and others, and to give generously. And together we talk talk about these kinds of things and just encourage one another with biblical truth here on this program each day. Well, that's going to do it for us. Thanks to my team today, Adam Suddeth, Pat Montague, Robert Youngblood, and Jim Henry. Couldn't do it without them. Hope you have a great rest of your day, and come back and join us tomorrow. We'll see you then.
Bye-bye.